Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is CSN's Redskins Talk, presented by Commuter Connections. Here is your host, J.P. Finley.
What's up, everybody? J.P. Finley here, Redskins Talk podcast, coming your way right now. Let's get started by thanking the good folks at Commuter Connections. A couple clicks is all it takes to share a ride to work when you want, where you want, for free. CommuterConnections.org, 800-745-RIDE, and their app is Carpool Now. It is available, and you should download it. It has been way too long for me since I have talked to my podcast partner in crime, Rich Tandler. Tandler, what is up, man?
Hey, doing great. Lots to, in a way, you know, not really a lot happening, but at the same time, a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I feel like there's plenty to talk about. And let's start with, you know, all the stuff we heard out in Phoenix. It was cool getting to interview those guys. I talked with Bruce Allen. I talked with Jay Gruden. I had plenty of conversations with other NFL folks that have a lot of value. But let's, Taylor, you want to start with Gruden or with Bruce?
Well, let's start with Bruce, since that's the kind of the shorter one to knock out there.
All right, what's your takeaway from the Bruce conversation?
Well, you know, I guess regarding Scott McLuhan, he kind of said some words without really saying a whole lot. And, you know, nobody, and of course, you were one of several one-on-one interviews he did, which was kind of interesting. They didn't do a press conference. The last time he did a press conference did not turn out well for him back on December 31st, 2014, when he got, pretty peppered by the media. But, you know, I guess he explained as best he could that, you know, they just had to move on, and he wasn't, you know, thought it was a good time to move on, wanted clarity with the free agents, and, it just occurs to me the decision that had actually been made before that, you know, before going to the combine. You don't leave your GM at home at the combine without, you know, unless you eventually, sooner or later, intend to move on from them.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, personally, seeing everything, seeing just the interaction in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, and that was late January, I think. I think right. It was the week before the Super Bowl, right? So it's still January at that point. And it was one thing when Scott told us, me and other reporters, that he wasn't allowed to talk to us because Bruce Allen told him not to. That's one thing. But then it was a whole nother just watching how the Redskins staff all sat in the end zone, and they all sat together. Santos Campbell, Doug Williams, Bruce Allen, Jay Gruden. Now, certainly people were walking around, and you know, you're watching football practice, so if you want to watch a position group that's on the opposite side of the field, you walk around. But that was their home base. Each and every day we were there for practice. Meanwhile, McLuhan sat by himself largely on like the 50, 40-yard line on the other side of the field and was with other scouts. I know one day he was with his brother, but he was kind of bouncing around. And that, at the time, seemed weird, and certainly in hindsight, is something that I think was a, you know, foreshadowing kind of the end was coming.
Yeah, no doubt.
But, so, I don't know about you, Tandler, but I'm starting to get a little bit of McLuhan fatigue, I think. Just because, so that story when Scott wasn't allowed to talk was late January. It's now late March. So for the better part of 2 months, we've been talking in some capacity about what's going on with McLuhan. And I think by the combine, so by mid-February or whatever, we all had a pretty good idea how this was actually going to shake out.
Right.
And the reality is that there are a lot of factors. I think there are some personal issues, and then I think there's a power struggle with Bruce Allen. And ultimately, I guess there are certainly people and fans that want to know kind of the exact details around that. I don't know that we're ever going to get the exact details around that.
No. You know, and it's, you know, I guess everybody just kind of has to form their own opinion on it, which seems that many have, you know, based on the facts that are there, which, like you said, are kind of few and far between as far as actually knowing, you know, not being in the building, actually knowing what happened. You know, and then it's like, okay, you know, could be, you know, some are backing the team and saying it was mostly Scott's fault. Others are saying, you know, hey, this, like you said, it was the power struggle. Bruce Allen just couldn't stand to give away so much decision-making power. Whichever it was, it's done, and they got to move on.
Man, I don't know. I don't see, at least on Twitter and social media, people on my Facebook page, I don't think a lot of folks are backing the team. I don't.
Oh yeah. My Facebook comments, which I know you're not supposed to read, but I do. I see. Yeah. A lot of people are saying, you know, or sort of disparaging Scott to one extent or another, and saying that they were kind of forced to move on from him.
All right. The overwhelming thing I've seen is that, you know, Bruce was wrong, but I mean, who knows? And here's my bigger takeaway. And what Jay Gruden said when asked about McLuhan is ultimately it doesn't matter now. The decision's made and we got to move forward and get ready for 2017. And I think that's what fans will focus on. I think especially like, and granted, it's so far away still. It's basically a month out from today. But once we hit the draft, I think the McLuhan stuff will kind of die down, unless, you never know, new reporting could always come out. And so it's certainly a very interesting, dramatic subplot at this point.
Yeah, no doubt. And then, of course, you know, really what will happen is how does this draft turn out, you know, out of the, you know, what kind of impact do they have, you know, especially this year, although that's not how you judge the draft, but. You know, has the draft turned out without, you know, although McLuhan, you know, the board was largely set up, you know, everything that's happened since he's gone, where they're going to these pro days, they're bringing players in Redskins Park, for the up close and personal one-on-one type interviews, you know, that's all adjusting the board. So while it's, you know, the grades were not yet set when McLuhan departed. So this will still be the Allen, I'm going to call it Allen/Gruden draft, because I do think that Gruden does have a decent amount of say in that, in the grades, and thus in the draft room.
Oh, yeah. And we can talk about that specifically. I want to talk specifically what I thought the most important thing Bruce Allen said. But first, real quick, a word from our sponsors.
A couple clicks is all it takes to pay your bills, to share your thoughts, and now to share a ride. A couple clicks gives you more options to more places for free. Register to rideshare today at commuterconnections.org or 800-745-RIDE. Try our new Carpool Now app, too.
So the thing that stood out for me most from Bruce Allen was that he said he considers it that the Redskins have an option for 2018 for Kirk Cousins. So the fact that he was pretty casual in mentioning the option, I think another tag is absolutely in play for Kirk Cousins. I would guess that would be a transition tag. And then the world will finally see what the value is for Kirk, because he can negotiate elsewhere around the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, you could get at his, although with the, you know, given supply and demand on quarterbacks, you know, you still, you know, you could get a, it's hard to get a true value on him because it just takes one team that badly needs a quarterback like San Francisco and is willing to spend, you know, willing to spend on one to, you know, to make it a you know, a ridiculously high offer, $26 million, whatever you want. But, and that is interesting, but I think there's one thing that people do need to keep in mind is that Cousins would have the option if they do put that $28 million franchise tag out there to just sign it, sit down, sit back, play the year with the Redskins again, and get a fully guaranteed $28 million, and then be able to be a truly unfettered free agent at the age of 30 in 2019.
Right, which would
so
be...
So that's, you know, there's definitely some leverage there. I'm not discounting that that doesn't give the, you know, that, that gives, does or doesn't give the Redskins some leverage there, but it doesn't completely, you know, I think some people are talking like, okay, well, this will be decided one way or the other. The Redskins will definitely at least have the option to keep him long-term because they could match that contract. That's if he goes out and signs an offer sheet. Again, he doesn't have to.
Right, and one thing that I heard a number of times in Phoenix, just talking with different people, it's also worth keeping in mind that the quarterback class of 2017 is fairly weak. I mean, there's a debate, Deshaun Watson, Mitch Trubisky, this kid from Texas Tech, but I mean, none of these guys are surefire. And even more than that, none of these guys are surefire to come in and start right away. Like we've seen some young quarterbacks have immediate success, but there is very legitimate excitement about the quarterback class of 2018, especially the kid at USC, Sam Darnold. And
you mean Matt Leinart? Is that the guy you're talking about?
No, Taylor. I know
that's that. Go. I mean, I'll let you finish your point. But
I know your natural inclination is to hate.
Oh. Saying, wow, this guy's a surefire top pick. And, you know, the guys know. You know, I mean, Andrew Luck. Just to compare and contrast, Andrew Luck had a solid, you know, couple of years, two or three years at Stanford before he was the consensus automatic number one pick. I just want to slow down the hype train on Darnold. But
okay, so your natural inclination is just to hate on stuff, but did you watch the kid last year? He was already great. So if he's great again, there's your two.
Minor was great when he was a junior, and he stayed in, and you know what? He wasn't so great.
Okay, man. All I can tell you is what multiple NFC folks with their fingers on the pulse told me. That's all.
Said that about Leinart too.
Nobody ever told me that about Leinart. So I see what you're trying to do. I don't think it's a fair comparison, but I all I would say is if you get to 2018, supply will always surpass, or demand will always surpass supply when it comes to NFL quarterbacks. But you're looking at a draft with, right now, I mean, clearly a lot can happen in 12 months with probably 3-4 strong contenders to be legitimate top 10 quarterbacks compared to this year where you've got maybe two guys that should go in the first round and probably four will. So to think that that wouldn't impact 2018 free agency, I think is a little short-sighted.
Okay, so you're saying Cousins would be somewhat devalued.
I'm not saying devalued at all, but I'm saying there could be less suitors.
Well, which means he would be devalued.
No, because like you said, all it really takes is one team getting desperate. What I'm telling.
Okay, well, the demand would be lower.
I think there are certain.
Teams you're looking at.
I think there are certain places Kirk would like to land if he wasn't in Washington. I think that's fairly obvious because he's got two former offensive coordinators now running their own teams, right? I mean, you just look on the West Coast. You've got Sean McVay and you've got Kyle Shanahan out there head coaching teams. And I think Kirk would be comfortable in either of those offenses. And I think those teams both probably project to be top. Picking in the top five again, maybe the Rams, just because they have a stronger defense, could make a bit more of a charge in one season. But I think it's not crazy to think if those guys like a quarterback next year, that maybe that would slow down their pursuit of Cousins when you know what the cost is going to be.
Right. Okay. I see your larger point. I just am slow to buy on the hype train. My only point is I'm slow to buy on the hype train a year out on these guys. That's all.
Did you watch the Rose Bowl?
Yeah.
That kid was fantastic.
How good was Vince Young in that Rose Bowl?
But that was an entirely... He's playing a different game. Vince Young was reliant on athleticism and running.
I know. But that's fine. Hey, do you want to get all... Do you think he's the next Peyton Manning or whatever? But feel free. I will withhold that opinion for the time being.
No, we need to figure out some sort of bet on Darnold. We don't need to do it right now, but... This looks like you're digging your heels in like it's a Matt Jones, Rob Kelly situation.
No, I'm saying I don't know. I'm saying slow down. I'm not saying he's not going to be any good. I'm saying it's too early to really know if he's going to be a super quarterback.
Sure. I mean, but he's got what you want, man. He's 6'4", 225, threw for 3,000 yards last year. Completed 67% of his passes in college. 31-9. Pretty good. I think he's 19 years old. It's pretty good, Taylor.
Okay.
What were you doing at 19?
Well, let's... how about... I know you drive the ship here, but how about we move on from our Redskins podcast on from a quarterback who probably will never play for the Redskins.
I think that is very fair. I don't know. Sometimes we get going down these bizarre alleys. All right. So regardless, that's my biggest takeaway with Kirk is that I think the team is not scared to tag him again, which is just going to be another offseason of you and I writing about potential long-term deals and whether or not they will happen, which sounds like just a lot of fun. I did have an interesting conversation with Ian Rappaport out there that it's still not a certainty they don't get a long-term deal done. And I agree with that. I think it's still possible they get one done. What do you think on that?
You know, I think it's possible, but what struck me as odd is, and I believe he had, you talked to Peter King and you talked to Rappaport. Rappaport said, was talking about waiting until he doesn't think they'll get it by July 15th, but then getting it when the season is over, which I think is, you know, what at that point, why wouldn't he just wait? I didn't quite get that point. You know, how you know, why there would be reason to think he would sign anything after the season.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, you never know what can happen in an NFL season either. I think as much as Jay Gruden voiced his excitement about 2017 and the new weapons they have offensively, and I think to a lot of extent he's right. I don't think there's great reason for concern, especially offensively, but it still requires getting a lot of new pieces playing together and understanding the offense. So, I mean, it is possible that Kirk's numbers go down. That's possible.
Right. But I think teams, you know, wanting to sign him would look at the extenuating circumstances.
Sure.
And everything. But then on the flip side of the coin, and again, I believe it was Rappaport that said this, was that, you know, you just can kind of relying on the quarterbacks and Cousins, you know, with his level of performance, they just don't change teams. It just doesn't happen unless you get something weird, like, you know, Peyton Manning being out for a full season with a neck injury and then the Colts drafting Andrew Luck. I mean, it just takes something like that for that to happen. You know, just a weird alignment of the sun, moon, and stars. So, right. You know, I think, you know, I think that is, you know, he could look at it and say, hey, you know, I can be fine in Kyle's offense, but no, I'm going to be, you know, coming up on 30, and that'd be 2019. He'll be in his age 30 season in 2018. He'll turn 30 before the season starts. So, you know, he could think, hey, you know, I've had success here. I've done well here. Jay is still under contract for a few more years. You know, why it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, and if they can come up with something, you know, resembling what he wants for money, I think it could happen.
All right. So much of our time gets devoted between McLuhan and Cousins that I feel like we don't really address the rest of the roster. And frankly, I think the rest of the roster is almost more important if there's to be actual improvement. So I want to do that with you, Tandler, right after this word from our sponsors.
A couple clicks is all it takes to pay your bills, to share your thoughts, and now to share a ride. A couple clicks gives you more options to more places for free. Register to Rideshare today at commuterconnections.org or 800-745-RIDE. Try our new Carpool Now app too.
Okay, so Tandler, you and I watched every game last season. We know that largely the offense was the strength of this team, and largely the defense was the big time weakness. And I think oddly late in the year when they needed a win, the defense kind of showed up and the offense was bad, especially the home losses to the Panthers and the Giants. But still, this offseason, prior to the firing of McLuhan, everybody thought the focus would be on improving the defense. Then, you know, they lost to Sean, lost Pierre, had to make a move there, signed Terrell Pryor. Defensively, though, do you think they've done enough?
No, I think they've done something. You know, I think, you know, the key will be, you know, McLean plus McGee, will they compensate for the loss of Chris Baker, who, you know, was their best lineman last year?
Yep.
And D, can they find, you know, I combination cringed and rolled my eyes when Jay was talking to you guys from Phoenix the other day about how Jim Tom Sewell promised him
that
he would create a nose tackle.
Yeah, so I asked that question.
You know what? They've had somebody lined up at nose tackle since 2010 when they started this defense. Rarely. Ever. Tot Roast had his moments. Joe Salavea back in 2010, 2011 actually wasn't a bad nose tackle. But by and large, those people that they've lined up there have not been good enough. And so that kind of made me, you know. And Greg Minowski did say a couple weeks ago that they would, you know, the nose tackle would probably come from the draft. So does that get them, you know, reaching for a nose tackle? There really isn't a good one until about the third or fourth round. Is that a guy you can plug in? So, you know, I think that's the main area. I like what they've done at safety.
So do I.
You know, we'll have to see how it works out. It's a little bit of a leap of faith on both Swearinger and Cravens to see if they can do things that they haven't really done in the NFL before consistently. Swearinger did play some free safety with the Cardinals, but that was more here and there situationally. So we'll have to see how that works out.
Did you see the story I wrote on Swearinger and Cravens?
No, I haven't had a chance to yet.
So I asked Gruden directly. I asked Gruden about the safeties, and I asked him about the nose tackle. I want to read what he said specifically so we have that quote. But at safety, I thought his comments were pretty interesting in that Gruden said, Swearinger played as good as any safety in the NFL in 2016. That's strong praise from a guy. Jay is not, you know how there are some coaches that always kind of hype guys up? Jay is not that guy usually. So
he's not his brother.
Right. Okay, Tandler, one of our favorite topics, a recurring theme on Redskins Talk, is Rob Kelly as the Redskins starting running back. Jay Gruden told us in Phoenix that he loves Rob Kelly. I was curious your reaction.
Well, and he went through some things other than his pass-casting ability, which I thought Jay was a little more bullish on than he should have been.
Generous, perhaps.
Yes, he was generous, no doubt. And but then he went through and did just two things. First of all, to talk about is you kind of had to remind him that Matt Jones is still on the roster.
Yeah,
which I thought was telling. But then I didn't quite get the question. I think it was Brian McNally. I don't know if he mentioned the draft in his question or not. I didn't hear that he did. But then he talked about. Chris Thompson, he talked about Mack Brown, and then he said, and there's some very special backs in this draft. And then you later on broke out with him and did a separate interview and asked him about McCaffrey and Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook. So I thought that was pretty interesting that as much as he loves Rob Kelly, that he would not rule out, you know, if he saw somebody who would be a massive upgrade at the position, he would not rule out taking one of them. In fact, said it would be hard not to take one of them.
Yeah, so the question was about adding to the running back group. Now, I think, again, I don't remember, but I think McNally even mentioned, like, bringing a veteran in. And didn't they have somebody come in already, a running back?
Tim Hightower came in and talked.
Right.
That's not really.
I mean, yeah, and you got to wonder with Hightower if that's not just like a, man, it's great to see you're back at it kind of conversation.
Right.
But, yeah, it was funny. When I asked Gruden specifically about Dalvin Cook and Christian McCaffrey, you could see, I mean, if there's one thing Jay loves above all else, it's great offense, right? And it almost seemed to me, asking him those two names, it's like you can see the plays he's drawing up in his head as he's talking about how exciting they could be and what they could do for his team. But smartly, he talked, let's call it 20 seconds about those two guys, but then he's like, but hey, we also like a lot of defensive players there too. So he didn't exactly want to tip his hand.
Well, of course not, but I don't know. I think his voice kind of lit up there when talking about the running backs maybe a little bit more than the defensive player. But you're right. He's not, you know, he doesn't want to tip his hand. And you know, I think you should let it be known that you might take any player that's on the board.
Right.
You know, I don't think you want to say, yeah, no, we're set at running back, man. We're just going to bypass those guys. But I think it would be interesting, you know, that's if they took a running back in the first round. And you know, kind of my thought process on this is, you know, that, you know, versus taking a defensive player, you know, first of all, that kind of looks like to me, just looking at my graphs, kind of a hole in the defensive line, pick number 17, you'd either the better guys are going to be gone, and anybody that's on the board there, probably somebody should be picked in the 20s,
right?
Which is why I think Charlie Casserly in his mock drafts put Caleb Brantley of Florida on their defensive lineman, but said they should, you know, this should be a pick that they trade back for. That's kind of a hole right there. So if they can't trade back or don't want to trade back, you know, a running back. Very good running back, can help your defense. You know,
totally.
It can keep them off the field. You know, Dallas's defense, and they've lost a lot of guys from it, but they were not a real good defense, but they were able to look pretty good statistically because they weren't on the field a whole lot, because the Cowboys were able to control the ball with Ezekiel Elliott running the ball, and then, of course, with Dak being able to dink and dunk here and there for the most part, and move the stick. So,
well, and that's,
you know,
something
I think a running back could help the defense as much as an okay defensive lineman could.
Well, and that's something that Bruce Allen spoke to specifically. He said, you know, the best team in our division was the Cowboys. They ran the ball well, and they stopped the run well. So, I think those two things kind of go hand in hand. I'm not sure they should go running back, but I do think both those guys are really talented. I don't know what to make of, you know, like Josh Norris is a friend of mine, and folks that are hardcore draft guys like him and others look at all the numbers that Dalvin Cook has posted at the combine and pro days, and, you know, how high he can jump and how far he can stand on one foot. I don't even know all the different ways they analyze
that. The three-cone drill, man.
Yeah,
that's a situation that comes up a lot.
Right. But
on football field.
But if you just follow those numbers, a lot of times they lead you the right place. So as much as I want to be like, look, man, I watched Dalvin Cook on a lot of Saturdays, and he was great, and that's what should matter, you don't want to discount the numbers either. And McCaffrey's numbers stood out more than Cook's, but to me, Cook's play was better than McCaffrey most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think Cook was, you know, but he has, you know, a few off-the-field issues.
Yeah, and fumbles.
Right.
And we've had running backs from the state of Florida fumbling recently, and the coaching staff does not like it.
No, definitely not.
Taylor, what are you doing next Wednesday night? And I really hope you know the answer.
I'm going to be at, what's the name of the bar? You tell me the name of the bar to be at, and I'll be there.
Penn Quarter Sports Tavern.
That's what I thought of. I knew it was Penn and Quarter in there, but I wasn't sure what the whole thing was. So, yes, at 5:30. Actually, I'll probably be there before that.
5:30. I've never known you to be... You are from the Tom Coughlin school of on time, which means you get there early.
Yep.
I'm hoping to actually get there early, too, just to make sure we have everything set up. But, yeah, for our listeners, Penn Quarter Sports Tavern, next Wednesday, April 5th, it's going to be a blast. Everybody that shows up and tells me and Rich Tandler that you listen to our podcast, you get one free beer. So you really can't beat that deal, I don't think, Tandler.
No. That's not one per podcast you've listened to.
No, yeah, that's
it's
one.
Just one for listening to them all.
One
this
total.
Is number, what are we at, like number 53, something like that now?
Dude, we're in the 60s, I think.
Oh, 60s, yeah.
Yeah.
When do we start? We start this training camp?
No, week one.
Season, or?
Week one.
Week one, okay.
So, I mean, really, the podcast has grown tremendously since we started, and... I don't know that there is any Redskins-specific podcast. I don't want to, like, slander any other podcasts that are out there, so I'm going to hold off on that statement. I know there are other Redskins podcasts out there. I believe ours' listenership is higher, but I don't know that, and I don't want to upset anyone else that has a podcast.
Right.
I know that we're the only ones having a party on April 5th at Penn Quarter Sports Tavern, Taylor.
Exactly. That makes us unique.
All right, here's the other thing I want to ask you. I don't know if our listeners know. What will you be doing next Monday at 1 o'clock?
Do I know?
I mean, that's Nat's opening day. I figured you'd be all
oh,
over.
Oh, yes, yes. I don't think I'll be going, but I'll definitely be watching.
Why aren't you going?
I'm not working.
Man, you could take a couple hours off, Taylor. I think I'm going.
We'll have fun.
All right. Real quick, want to thank the good people at Commuter Connections. A couple clicks is all it takes to get a ride to work, when you want, where you want, for free. Taylor, what's the best part of Commuter Connections?
Well, it's free.
It's free.
It's what you want. Everything. I've been trying to think about anything negative about it. I just can't.
I can't either.
Free, ride share, what you want, when you want, what?
Maybe they'll give us...
How can you not do that? Dealing with this traffic?
God, the traffic's awful. You think there's a chance they'll give us a ride home from the podcast party?
We could try.
We should try.
Run out the flagpole.
We should
be sharing a ride with some guys coming home from work. I don't know if that would be the
You and I after a couple hours, and then poor guys trying to get home from work. But anyway, check them out. CommuterConnections.org, 800-745-RIDE, and Carpool Now is the app. All right, last request for our listeners. Rich Tandler is one hell of a singer. So, everybody that comes next Wednesday, you've got a request. My personal favorite is American Pie. He knows every word.
No, I will not be performing. That my appearance isn't high enough for that.
You get two free beers, Taylor. All right. Rich, it's very good to catch up, and I can't wait to see you next week.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay, folks, if you made it this far, I owe you a beer. Talk to you soon.
All